It's KUT. I'm Emily Donahue. Austin-based author Sarah Bird has a new book out today. Above the East China Sea is a coming-of-age tale set in Okinawa, Japan. It contains some typical coming-of-age material: rebellion, questioning, experimentation, relationships. But in this book, the relationships span centuries and generations through war and peace and become the key to finding answers in the present. Intrigued? Sarah Bird joins me now. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Emily. That was a lovely synopsis.
Well, tell me a little bit about this story, because it's not your typical coming-of-age tale.
That's odd. I had never really thought of it as a coming-of-age tale, but I guess it is, because my characters are that age. It's a story of two intertwined stories of, as you say, a native Okinawan girl who was conscripted during World War II by the Imperial Japanese Army and forced to serve in their horrific cave hospitals, and a contemporary military brat who is stationed, as I once was with my family, at Kadena Air Base on the island of Okinawa. And they their stories weave together, and they influence each other across time and death in a way that is consistent with the Okinawan beliefs.
Now, a little bit about Okinawa, because
it is a prefecture of Japan in the way that Texas is a state of the United States. So it's one of the Japanese prefectures, the newest, the smallest, the least powerful, the most exploited, but it's a prefecture.
So I have a little limited understanding of its role in World War II and later as a military base.
Oh, right. Very few people do. I mean, it's astonishing that how little I knew, and I lived there. I have less excuse than most people. It's also astonishing because Okinawa has been so critical since the end of World War II to our defensive posture, our military strategies. In researching this novel, it was sort of one stunning discovery after another, like the fact that this place where I had lived, and it was very idyllic when we were there, more human life was lost there during the invasion of Okinawa than at Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined. And you have to factor in this one huge difference between, for example, Guadalcanal or Iwo Jima, is that Okinawa was a fully inhabited island. And none of those other places were.
The Japanese were as brutal to the people that lived there as the Americans were to the Japanese, and
Absolutely.
The Japanese were to the Americans.
Absolutely. They were thoroughly propagandized to believe the Okinawans were an inferior race, and their highest goal in life was to be pure Japanese and to ultimately to serve the emperor, and if they were truly chosen, to sacrifice their lives for the emperor. So that was the mindset, and if that was not your mindset, you were forced at gunpoint by the Japanese army to serve, and then later, in many cases, to commit suicide rather than surrender.
Now, that is almost the pivot point of this story.
Right.
The sort of enslavement, almost, of one of your female heroines.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me a little bit about your two heroines.
One is Luz. She's a contemporary military brat. She's the one who was stationed on Kadena. As I was stationed there with my family, I was there in the late 60s, and she's there now. And it's the start of a new assignment for her and her mother, who's a hard-ass sergeant and serves with security forces, enlisted sergeant. And as the book opens, she is utterly bereft because her beloved older sister and the emotional core of her life has just been killed in Afghanistan. And Tamiko, the Okinawan girl, is equally bereft because she's pregnant, standing at the top of what later would become Suicide Cliff for the many, many Native people who jumped to their death from that cliff. And fearing, are almost certain that she will be killed the next morning, either by the invading American forces, or if she tried to surrender, by the Japanese.
So can you just read me a little bit of Tamiko's story?
Sure. Though I thought my heart had hardened to a rock, it aches now with missing my family, Hatsuko most of all. I shake away such weakness. I am 15 years old. Old enough to know that a mother does what she must for her child in this life and more important in the next. I pray to our ancestors, to all the Kami-sama, to the ones who've gone before, to the gods of hearth and field, altar and forest, to all the spirits who control our destinies. I beg them to help us, to let my child and me enter the next world and be reunited with my family, with our family. I wrap my arms tight around my belly and step off the cliff. It's easy. The easiest thing I've had to do since the Americans invaded. The Kami cradle us, just as I cradle my child. Still, when we land, the sea is hard as concrete. The salt water floods my mouth, throat, lungs. There is a moment of pain, of clawing struggle, when I am certain I've made a terrible mistake. Then it vanishes, and I let the stones drag us down farther and farther under the waves until the new risen sun far overhead shrinks away to a pearl that shimmers briefly before it is lost forever in darkness. Our wait begins.
What I felt when I was reading this book, the word I can think of is ethereal. You're sort of floating in a mist and you're floating your way up concentric circles.
That's funny because so much of this book did come to me in dreams. For example, the end of it, either in dreams or when I was swimming at Barton Springs. And they're both ethereal experiences. And honestly, that's how I found the keys to unlock what were some pretty thorny plot problems that I had set out for myself. And I didn't, when I wrote the book, I had no idea how these two stories would end up impacting each other, resonating with each other, and solving each other's crises. And so that was a great gift that I did, that the links between these two stories came to me at Barton Springs and in dreams.
And so both of these girls, they're both in a situation where they sort of have to make their own way.
Yes.
But they both boil down to family and how you fit into a family.
Exactly, exactly. And the big discovery for Luce is kind of the most uncool of military things, or most uncool thought a military kid can have, and that is connections matter, roots matter, family matters. The military is very, very future-oriented, forward-oriented, and it's all about the mission. So the least cool thing you can be is homesick or moping around because you've had to leave all your friends behind or wishing you were back in America or making much of where you came from, your roots, your family, who your quote-unquote people are. And that is the essence of Okinawan society, very, very, very rooted society, rooted in the limestone of the Okinawan island, rooted in generations back. They all have scrolls on their family altars celebrating and remembering 10 generations back.
So you said you lived there when you were young. Were you influenced by these history and these traditions that you describe?
I was as oblivious as any late teen can be, maybe more so. And also, there wasn't a great emphasis on local culture in the military bases. So actually, we got out more than the average military family because my mom was very, very adventurous and she loved to go exploring. And so we went out and we saw much more than most of our neighbors did. Yet I was also astonishingly ignorant about this gorgeous culture and the fact of how different it was from Japan and the fact of the tremendous losses that they had suffered. And, you know, I'd stroll around these magnificent golf courses, these endless tundras of green and parade grounds and runways. And then right across the barbed wire fence, I could see this claustrophobically crowded island. And just, you know, I sort of wonder, why do they live like that? I mean, completely that stupid, not understanding until many, many years later that we had taken their prime land, you know, one-fifth of the island occupied by our military, and they had nowhere to go. There was very, very little land, and we'd taken a good chunk of it.
This book is a bit of a departure for you, but it sounds like it's also a little bit of a homecoming.
My publisher has been very careful to emphasize that this book is a stunning departure to sort of signal to readers that it's not the typical laugh riot. And I think of it as, you know, those readers who expect a comic novel from me, they they depart stunned, because it's an intense book. The subject matter is intense. I mean, there is some lightheartedness. Luz has an essentially ironic take on life, and she's she's pretty funny. And, you know, there are moments of great joy for Tamiko, but it's both of them are situated in a tough place at a tough time.
Sarah Bird's new novel is called Above the East China Sea. Thanks so much for being here.
I'm completely pleased.
Emily Donahue, KUT News.